you doing?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. Hello to you this fabulous Monday morning, May 18th. Oh, my. What an incredible weekend. Hopefully you had a great weekend as well. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio. I'm Stacy Ann, blessed to be with you on this Monday. We are news that you can use here to encourage, educate, engage, and empower you. And I'm telling you what, I was all over the Pacific Northwest, all over Oregon, actually, to this last weekend. It was my birthday on Friday, as you recall, and was so thankful. My headset broke on Friday. I've had the same Bose headset in radio for the last, probably 7 years, since 2013, and the right side just completely stopped. And so my day after I left the studio on Friday, I went on a little jaunt over to our friends at Capital Pond. Hello, Beth and Adam, and was able to find a new headset. So I'm thrilled about that, using that this morning. And then went on a journey on Friday night over to Lincoln City to enjoy the beautiful coast. Was hoping to catch the sunset along the coast. It got a little cloudy, but guess what I saw? Right there in the Taft area off of Lincoln City, I saw seals dancing in the bay, and it was the best birthday gift ever. And of course, we got to eat indoors finally because Lincoln City has opened up over there. And then on Saturday, I took a journey over to Seaside, Oregon, where a group of Liberty Patriots had a meeting there talking about our freedom and our liberties and really encouraging those in Seaside who want to open up and open up their businesses. They just started opening up. They're opening up the beach today, in fact. And that was a fun journey to get to know some of the business owners there, really, really struggling. In fact, one particular mom and pop, this little boutique there, really spent some time talking to them. They fall through all of the cracks. They don't get the PPP because they have no employees and they don't qualify for unemployment, and they have so much regulation going on just for someone coming into their store and how many people are limited in their little tiny boutique. And so I'm keeping the business owners, the mom and pop shops, in our prayers. And then, of course, over the weekend too, our friend right here in Salem, Oregon, Lindsay Graham, who has opened up her boutique despite the shutdown order that continues, especially in Marion County. Our county has not opened up yet. She's been operating now for the last few weeks, opened up her doors, allowing her independent contractors to work there, allowing people to come and get the services that they are so desperate in need of, right? We love to get our hair cut and our nails done and things like that, right? Those extra pampering things. And so Lindsay has enjoyed over the weekend some national exposure. She's been on Fox and Friends, and I think Breitbart might have had featured her as well, and others are catching on to the need to show that here in Oregon, we have an overreach of our governor continuing to keep things shut down. And what also is happening is there's this, in a sense, an unfairness. Some counties are opening up, some are not. Some people don't even know what they're to do or what not to do, and there's a lot of fear. I think the thing that so struck me that really needs to be mentioned and talked about is this this mask that you have to wear the mask. And I've never experienced anything like it. I don't even know how to even put it in. I don't even know how to filter it. I went into a little boutique, another little boutique, and I hadn't been in a couple steps in, and I was hounded for not wearing a mask. Now, I have, like, I ride Harley Davidsons, and so I have, like, a scarf thing around my neck or whatever, and I politely pulled it up, but I was chased down in the store because I did not have a mask. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. Well, no, I know how I feel about it. I felt harassed, actually. I can't imagine what these store owners are feeling and all the overbounds and the things that they have to get done just to even open the door to make a livelihood. And so my thoughts and prayers continue to be with them. I want to highlight and thank Bill Sunderland from Sunderland Agency for sponsoring the morning show here. And I want to encourage our listeners, if you're looking for insurance, if you're looking for someone to give you some insight on finances, Bill Sunderland is your guy. Give him a call, 503-885-0789. Looking at the weather today, we're going to continue to see showers in the forecast, maybe a high temperature, about 62, overnight lows in the high 40s. And in my effort to educate, empower, encourage, especially in this election season, you know, as we watch the morning news and you just look through mainstream media headlines, you see a lot of information coming at us. And now that we have the internet and the privilege of the internet, sometimes it's hard to know what is true and what isn't true. And it's hard to get the information that we need and the research that we need. And one of the resources that I love and have really grown to appreciate in my probably the last 15 years that I've been on the front lines in the pro-life work is the Susan B. Anthony list. And on the line with me today, I have Mallory. Let's see. Are you there, Mallory?
I'm here, Stacey.
Yay!
Thanks so much for having me.
You are here. Let me tell our listeners a little bit about you. Mallory Quigley serves as Vice President of Communication at Susan B. Anthony List. And her role, she's responsible for managing the organization's communications team and developing the organization's strategy to communicate with both the media and the pro-life grassroots. Mallory has secured profile stories in Susan B. Anthony's list in New York Times, The Washington Post, Politico, MSNBC, The New Yorker, and more. Mallory, I can go on and on. Your credentials and your bio is beautiful. And I'm so excited to talk to you a little bit this morning about messaging and tell me a little bit about this last article because it really struck a chord with me. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I just had my 51st birthday. And so I am a mom of five children who are all promoted out of the house. So I'm in this interesting part in my life, and I've been a conservative all my life. But some of my children are not so much. And many of them have been influenced by the sound bites of the internet media and the things that they're being targeted, I believe, with specific sound bites and paid advertising to influence them. And I think it's working. Talk to me a little bit about this most recent revelation in the article that you wrote in Town Hall, your op-ed piece, about that generation. And even though that they may be more influenced in some ways, maybe even anti-Trump, there's still a resounding pull towards the pro-life message. Can you talk to me a little bit about that this morning? Welcome.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you. And happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to hear you had a nice weekend despite all the, you know, the corona.
Oh, yes.
Insanity. But I was so encouraged to see this write-up in the New York Times. Even a broke clock is right twice a day, right? So
yes.
They did get it right on this one, talking about young people ages 18 to 24 who, even though they lean left on many issues, you know, including climate change and the shutdown and, you know, LGBT, and they may dislike President Trump personally, but for many young people, the pro-life issue keeps them voting for pro-life Republicans. And it's an underreported story, but it is true because we've seen this reflected in our own outreach to voters at Susan B. Anthony List over the last three election cycles, going door-to-door in battleground states where we're talking to moderate Republicans, independents, Hispanic voters, young people, pro-life Democrats, and we're talking to them about the contrast that exists between the two parties on this issue. And what we found is that pro-abortion Democrats have just gotten so extreme on the issue that the clarity that exists it really is helpful in exposing the extremism and getting young people in particular to vote pro-life. You know, I'm talking to you from the Commonwealth of Virginia, where Governor Northam last year said that talking about a baby that survived a failed abortion, you know, will keep that baby comfortable while the parents decide, you know, what's going to be done, whether this child lives or dies. Mm. And that, those crazy comments that he made during a radio interview, I know that was like the shot that was heard around the entire country, because I was actually hearing from people in Oregon and Washington State who don't consider themselves Republican or really even pro-life, but they were saying, Mallory, if that's what it means to be pro-choice. I'm not that.
Right.
And so I think that the pro-abortion lobby is doing us a real favor in these last few years because, you know, for decades, the pro-life movement has said, our opponents are extreme. This is what they want. And now they're now in their own words, we have them talking about, you know, killing babies after they survive failed abortions and forcing taxpayers to fund abortion. And that's just a bridge too far for a lot of young people. And frankly, you know, for most people, for most Americans.
Well, what it does, mm-hmm. Mallory, is it takes it from my body, my choice. They can't defend that anymore because these are you know, children, a child that is born from an abortion attempt, you know, obviously you and I know at conception there's a whole unique separate living human being. We understand that and we grasp that and we talk about that and we educate on that. But when you have a child that's left somewhere kind of alone and the fate of that child because it's born and it wasn't supposed to be, you know, that just people can't put their mind around that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think for this younger generation, you know, they've grown up with ultrasound images, you know, taped to the refrigerator.
Right.
You know, like these pictures put in frames long before the baby is actually born, you know? And so they see that disconnect when, you know, wanted children are welcomed so early, you know, before the mom is even beginning to show and she's shopping and talking to everybody about it. Like, you know, they really get it. And then to see life treated so callously and discussed so callously by our nation's politicians and these people that work at Planned Parenthood, like they understand the disconnect. And I think the younger generations are really focused on, you know, fairness. And I think that there's not, you know, there's some problems with that philosophy overall and sort of like, you know, some of the issues we're seeing on college campuses with like free speech and, you know, the like wanting to be safe and nice. But when it comes to life, it has the impact of people saying that is just not right. You know, like this is an injustice. Abortion is an injustice.
And that's really where we're at. We're in that social justice phase of life. And these kids really want to get behind a cause. And they, mm-hmm. you know, they talk about health care for all. They talk about, you know, they lean more left when it comes to fairness and wanting people mm-hmm. treated equally. Even the anti-capitalist spirit that I see. I see posts sometimes of my youngest daughter and I'm like, ooh, you know, and mm-hmm. I know, I understand. I've seen it in my peers over the years. The more the government starts taking their money, the more conservative they become, you know. And when we come back from this break, I'm going to talk a little bit about how we can persuade the persuadables here in Oregon with a good, solid message of why life, it starts with life, and from there, everything else blooms. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. So glad to have you listening in, my friend. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Good morning, it's 7:22 on this Monday, May 18th. I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, with news you can use on this Monday and every single day. Blessed to have Mallory Quigley on the line with me. She's the Vice President of Communications with the Susan B. Anthony List, and it's been amazing to look at the news across the country in the last pretty much 90 days. When we're talking about COVID-19 and the true care and concern about our neighbors and making sure that we're not, one, carrying the virus, but two, that we don't get the virus, right? And so it's been this whole awareness throughout the country about our responsibility personally and to others. And I can't help but tie that into the life issue in general. From conception till natural death, we have a responsibility to make sure those in our lives and the most vulnerable are protected.
and especially those in the womb. And I am so thankful that you're here, Mallory, talking about with me about this article that you did, and it's in the New York Times, and it's highlighting President Trump's support among the young life pro-life voters. And the reality is, as we've talked about, this generation, and oftentimes maybe it's now this is becoming old school, but the pro-life generation, those the children that have been affected by abortion because they've lost their peers, more or less, they're the ones that are starting to stand strong, saying, no, this isn't okay. It's not okay. It's not okay to have oil spills out, you know, in our oceans. It's not okay, you know, to have endangered species. And it's not okay for babies to be dying in the womb. And but the struggle remains. How do we get a message that resonates, that persuades the persuadables? And you know the science is with us. The science is with us. We can just lay it out in science. But how do we catch them at that emotional level that seems to be where oftentimes the left-leaning liberal side grabs them? Help me out with that.
Yeah, I think it's important to just to speak the truth in love and to use the evidence that we have from the abortion lobby. They've been very explicit about their goals over the last, you know, few years in particular. I mean, I remember when I was in this age group, you know, when I was in college, I actually had a really hard time explaining my pro-life position to my peers because, you know, the slogans of my body, my choice, and, you know, like, we didn't have the evidence that we had that you were mentioning, you know, the science on the reality of fetal pain, you know. So when we're going door to door and talking to persuadable voters, we are just asking them where they stand on things like, what do you think ought to happen to a baby who survives a failed abortion? And more often than not, they say, you know, that that child should be given the medical care that will be afforded to, you know, wanted premature infants born at the same time. And we affirm them and say, yeah, you know, your neighbors and the people that we've talked to in your neighborhood feel the same way. So, like, letting them know that they're not alone in having this position, and then talking to them about, like, do you know that, you know, so-and-so, you know, usually we're talking, we're very active in the presidential race, but also Senate races across the country. And did you know that, you know, your senator or this Senate candidate that they've voted against? I mean, we have the voting records on, like, the Senate's voted multiple times now on whether or not babies should be kept alive after failed abortion, you know, like treated like human beings rather than trash.
Right.
And so we have the voting records, you know, we have all the tools that we need to educate people. And it's really just about calmly speaking the truth in love.
And you hit it right there. The truth in love, and it really has come down to a kind of a heart issue, too. I know in my generation of folks, I was born in 69, and I guess here in Oregon, abortion was legal starting in 69, even though countrywide it was 1973. But a lot of my peers, a lot of folks that I know that I've walked through the healing process of abortion loss, they said that so many times early on they were so pro-choice because they didn't want to sound judgmental. They didn't want to be judgmental of their peers who have had abortion loss in their life. And so they wanted, they couldn't do it themselves or, you know, whatever, but I can't tell that person what to do. It's shifted now to where we're empowering people with the truth and the talking points, but we've got to demonstrate it in love. And I believe in my heart of hearts in the last 15 years, and Abby Johnson is a great example in my mind of how the shift happened in the pro-life movement to an act of love and prayer, not demonstrating in a spirit of violence and in a, you know, more of a in your face kind of way. It's more in love, as Christ, I think, calls us to. And so it's good to hear that this is resonating with students. And tell me a little bit about what you're doing to equip these students and to help them go out and go door to door? Of course, we can't go door to door right now, but how are you reaching, how are you reaching people to get the message to them during this campaign cycle?
Well, we do partner with Students for Life. Student canvassers are some of our best. You know, people that feel really passionate about this, and we train them. You know, we have through the field team, and sorry, that was my dog going door to door. One thing you said about the pro-life movement, you know, shifting to this message of love, and this is another tool that we make sure that our canvassers have, is that the pregnancy center movement, the maternity home movement, is so much more robust than it was even 10 or 20 years ago. So we're able to back up that message of love with the real solution, the real, you know, assistance, material, emotional, you know, financial, that people need to be able to choose life, women and their families. So making sure that people have access to their local pregnancy centers. And, you know, many of these clinics are increasingly medicalized. You know, they're places where people can get real whole, you know, life-centered, whole woman health care.
That's a great...
throw the kitchen sink.
That's awesome, Mallory. That's a great note to end on. In fact, my cause for my birthday this year on Facebook was the local pregnancy center, Hope Pregnancy Center. Thank you so much for your time today. How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, check us out at lifeontheballot.com.
Excellent.
You'll be able to reconnect with me.
Thank you so much, Mallory. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning.
Wake up to a good morning, Salem, Silverton, Turner, Kaiser, wherever you're at today, Arkansas, South Dakota. You're listening at KSLM.news. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Stacey Ann on this Monday, May 18th, 7:36 in the morning. And I want to give a shout out to all of you that attended with us on Sunday, our church service right here in Salem, Oregon, on the steps of the Capitol. It was a phenomenal time, 500 to maybe 600-700 people joining together. And I loved how the weather just cooperated beautifully. It rained in the morning, and then in the afternoon it rained. But during our church service, it was a wonderful time. And I saw folks from all different denominations. I saw Catholics and Presbyterians and Baptists and non-denominationals and everybody coming together in that spirit of worshiping God and really that liberty spirit. We are here created by God, and we are given our rights by God, not by a governor, right? And we're in an interesting time right now, just the state of the state where we're at in Marion County. First and foremost, today we are getting ready to vote tomorrow, May 19th. If you don't have your ballot filled out, we need to get that filled out and hand delivered in to the right place, right? And I think right at the county is the best place. Get it right in there into that box and be counted. It's important. Elections have consequences. And so where we're at in Oregon, many counties have opened up for limited retail. Many counties are phase one. Marion County is not open up, although there are some retail stores, more retail stores open. However, I think there's that gray area and people are more or less waiting until we're in phase one in Marion County. And so we have a lot of things going on, a lot of stirring going on in our state as several churches, several businesses have now sued the governor for her overreach. And the question really is, does she have the authority? Does she have the authority to have an order, an emergency order, beyond the initial 30 days? And she's done like 20 emergency orders right now. And one of the groups that have come together in this lawsuit out of Baker City is Common Sense for Oregon, commonsensefororegon.com, if you want to learn more about them and how they're defending these churches and businesses against the overreach. Right now, as it stands, particularly, I believe, right here in Marion County, churches not more than 25. So several of the Catholic parishes actually have like a waiting list. You have to sign up to go to church. And I feel bad for those that have large families that they might be the, you know, 26th, 27th person wanting to go to church. And know, it really becomes a liberty, one of our liberties, you know, to be able to worship and assemble and to be together. And so Sunday was such a beautiful time to be together. And I want to thank you for joining us and being a part of that yesterday. We're going to shift gears a little bit, and really not so much, because I think it's important to look at our media. I think it's important that we really pay attention to how we are getting our information and how we're researching it out. In fact, so much so on social media, a lot of times you're seeing fact checks. Like if you share something and come back and it's not there, or it's like blocked out partially and there's this little thing saying, hey, it might not be a correct statement that you just shared on your Facebook. There's a lot of monitoring, a lot of censoring going on there. And it's important that we are informed readers, that we gather information, we really check out our facts. I don't disagree with that, but I don't like that someone else is saying that my opinion doesn't matter. Someone else is saying that the news that I'm sharing, because it doesn't fit their agenda or their timeline, is not worthy. I have a little bit of a problem with that. And so I think it's important for us right here in Oregon, Marion County, that we stay engaged, informed, and educated. And I'm so pleased to bring Kate Scanlon on with me on the air. Kate, thank you for being here today. How are you?
Hi, Stacey. I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, let me tell our listeners a little bit about you. She's a producer for EWTN News and a contributor to the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency. She's written for The Blaze and The Daily Signal. And I've had a chance to look at your articles over the last several years, and you and I line up beautifully on the pro-life message, on how it's important that we continue to be strong in what we believe in and get that message out there. And I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about being informed readers and making sure that we're accessing the proper information and equipping ourselves to be able to communicate that to our friends and family in a way that is, again, like we talked about last segment, in love, but in a way that's persuadable. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I always tell people, you know, if you believe you're on the side of truth, the best thing you can do is tell the truth. And so I would really encourage people, you know, do your own research. For example, if you're talking about a bill in Congress, it's easy to access those bills online. You can go up and look for yourself exactly what it is they say. And I really encourage you to do that, because you'll make a more informed argument with the facts. And I think people will see that.
So when you're out there looking for ways to, you know, add value to readership and let people know what's happening, what is your process of like, hey, this is a story of interest and I think this is something that people need to know about? What's your process of concept to actually pinning it and sending it out?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is, you know, would I as a reader want to read this? You know, is this something that's interesting? Is this something that people should know? And then, you know, you kind of start with the idea and you take it from there, and you verify the information, you talk to the actual people involved, and you see if it's the truth. And if it is, you put it out there.
And I think that's so good. These days, with COVID-19, over the last 90 days, pretty much, you know, since the beginning of the year, who knew 2020 would end up like this? I had no idea. It's been interesting with the press briefings, and we'll just use this as an example with President Trump. Okay, so he does these press briefings, and his team had been doing these press briefings daily of what's going on, giving kind of a state of the state, right? And what's interesting, how that would get translated, depending on the media outlet, right? And how that would get funneled to each of those crowds that listen, read, watch, you know, that media source. And I was so shocked at the disconnect, having watched the actual press briefing and what was told, and then hearing it, you know, through these different outlets. What is happening with all of that?
Yeah, so it's interesting, you know, how these things get filtered through. Every news organization is different. There are good and bad reporters at every news organization. And it's kind of obvious to tell the difference, you know, when you're at these events and you're seeing them yourself, and then, or you're watching them on television, as the case is in the age of coronavirus. And then you see how it gets translated by these different outlets. And some of them are maybe closer to the truth than others. But I think the important thing, again, is to just, you know, stick to the facts, you know, and that's really the important thing all around.
When you are looking, when you are writing, and many of these articles that you have written are exposing the darkness in a sense, and the myths and the fear with truth, what is the most profound article that you've written that you really feel like it was kind of an aha for your readers, for people that was like, I didn't know that? And you, what was the most gotcha thing that you've done so far?
Oh, wow. I'll have to think about that. I know there have definitely been some articles that really moved me as a person to write them. I interviewed one time a woman who was lobbying against a pro-abortion bill, and she shared with me her experience of having an abortion, and I could just see the tears in her eyes, and it was so incredibly painful to see her respond to these arguments that this is a liberating thing for women. You know, this is something we need that's pro-woman, because I could see in her life that it was not. And so I think just kind of telling these real human stories, I think a lot of the time is important and profound.
The beautiful thing about the organization that you're writing for and working for in news with the faith element, there is something so strong and so important about us as humans. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And if we ignore that part of us, I don't think that we're living, in my opinion, we're not living to our full potential if we don't tune into that part of who we are in that aspect. And if we don't highlight how people are affected or impacted by that in their day-to-day lives, I think we're missing the boat in a sense. Talk to me a little bit about the spiritual impact of your writing. And you talked personally about how you've been moved by people you've interviewed and things, but how is it for you to see our personal liberties, even with the governor shutting down church or saying how you can do church or not do church? What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, you know, personally for me as a Catholic, it's been very difficult over the last few months to not be able to attend Mass. The only real consolation that I have is that I'm not doing this to protect myself. I'm doing this to protect others. And so there is this kind of sacrificial element to it that, you know, hopefully we can offer up in our prayers for an end to this pandemic, for an end to the suffering, and for healing for people who are suffering from it. And I know, kind of going back to our conversation about perspectives from different media outlets, I've loved working for EWTN because it's so liberating to get to be a reporter and have the only lens that I'm required to use is that of my faith, you know, and I'm not beholden to either party or either side of the aisle, you know. It is so much easier to just kind of look at the truth,
right,
in this position. And I actually have a portrait of St. Maximilian Kolbe in my office to kind of remind me about, you know, how important it is to seek the truth. He was a saint in the Catholic Church. He was a Catholic priest who was martyred in Auschwitz. He was sent there for printing publications criticizing the Nazi regime, and he was martyred when he took the place of another prisoner. I think he's one of the patron saints of journalists, and so I like to keep him around to keep an eye on that.
Oh, that's inspiring, and particularly in this time. Hold on into the next segment if you can. I have a few more questions. You're listening
Absolutely.
To Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, news that you can use on this Monday and every single day. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning, Salem. Hello, I'm Stacey Ann. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hanging out with you on this Monday at 7:50. On the line with me today, Kate Scanlon, and she's the producer for EWTN News and contributor to the National Catholic Register and Catholic News Agency. And I am blessed to know you, Kate. I know that over the years, working on the front lines of the Pregnancy Center, I am so very thankful for my Catholic friends and neighbors and family. I'm Irish, and I have an Irish background, and I've got family that back in South Dakota actually started a, it's like a second cousin, started a Catholic school system there. And I'm telling you, on the pro-life work, those on the front lines with the Catholic Church, even the Knights of Columbus, helping come alongside the pregnancy centers with the ultrasounds, has been amazing. Helping clinics, helping pregnancy centers going for tests only to actual medical clinics, has brought revelation in the pro-life movement in such a way that there's no denying when you see that baby just weeks in the womb that you have a whole unique living human being. And you have had a chance over the years to work in many different areas of news and media and watching the message, the pro-life message, particularly through the 40 days of life and things. Talk to me a little bit about that, and why do you think we're winning in the pro-life with the pro-life message?
So I think that the important thing is, I know you spoke with Mallory before, and she talked about speaking the truth with love. And I think that's really the key to the success of the pro-life message. And as you said, you know, we are growing up with an entire generation that has seen, you know, their children in the womb through ultrasound technology. So we know these things about life and when it begins. And so it's just a matter of using not our beliefs, but our truth and our reality to convey this message.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about the different articles that you cover on the different sanctity of marriage, you talk about the life issue, you talk about our religious liberties and the ability to stand up for our faith. When you do these articles, how do you hear back from people? Do they give you feedback on how it's impacted their lives and their decision making?
Yeah, you know, I actually had one of the nicest letters I ever got in response to one of my articles was someone who talked about how just seeing the work of their local pregnancy center changed their mind on this issue. And it was a pregnancy center that I had done some reporting on, and so that was just really nice to see them share that with me. And I know, I think the pro-life movement made a major difference a few years ago when we were looking really closely at these different big corporations that donate to Planned Parenthood. I know once that got exposure, a lot of those contributions stopped. And so I think, you know, it just speaks highly of how this message is winning. People don't want to be affiliated with that.
When we talk about the election, the upcoming election right around the corner, and people really trying to decide locally, you know, the city council, their commission, their state house, you know, whether it be the representative or Senate, all the way up to D.C., you know, I often say, you know, when I'm reviewing candidates, my first question is, where are you on the life issue? And if they're like, yes, I believe in protecting life and protecting the most vulnerable, then the conversation continues, because that's like a I don't negotiate on that, right? If you're not standing for life.
Absolutely.
Are you seeing people getting bold like that across the nation when you're dealing with folks?
I think so. And I think we've seen more evidence of that recently. I know you discussed that New York Times article with Mallory before about how young Republicans in many cases will have major disagreements with the party on other issues, whether that's immigration or the environment or whatever the case may be. But they stay because of the life issue, you know, and in many cases they struggle with it because maybe they do believe in these other issues really strongly, or they dislike President Trump, you know, for whatever reason, but they stay with the party because of the life issue. And so I think that speaks to how people like you, this isn't a negotiable for them.
And when you talk about those that are funding abortion and keeping abortion in the forefront on the other side, you talk about Planned Parenthood and exposing them. I am so, I'm just bemuddled in a sense. I don't even know if that's a word, but looking at what's going on in California and the exposure of selling a baby body parts, right? And what David did down in California and this investigative reporting and had a chance to do all the research and bring this out into the public eye and into the media. And I'm just dumbfounded how it's not been picked up in the way. It's like there's, and you and I know the answer to this, but there's this control in the national media that doesn't get the information correctly out to the people. The only thing we hear is that he's being sued and then he lost. We don't hear the actual what actually happened and what he exposed. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I think I've reported on the Center for Medical Progress's work for years at various outlets. And the thing that has always struck me about it is it's not even so much that there's this, you know, massive conspiracy to protect Planned Parenthood on the part of different media organizations. It's almost that there's this laziness that this topic is just so unpleasant, it can't possibly be true, and we'd rather just take Planned Parenthood's word for it, which is kind of the antithesis of what you should be doing
right.
as a reporter. You should be challenging. This is a massive corporation that receives $500 million of taxpayer funds every year.
Right.
And you'd think there'd be a little bit more curiosity about their business practices, but you know, whether it's just not wanting to rock the boat on abortion or whatever else, you know, there seems to just be this disinterest more than anything else in this story.
Yeah, and the part that I think, again, when we talk about bringing information and bringing truth to persuade the persuadables, you cannot deny how graphic and how troubling this really is and see the motivation behind the push for abortion. It's so much more than my body, my choice. The true motives get exposed, and people can't deny that, and you're right. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget the first time I saw one of their videos that had, you know, the remains of a child that had lost their life in that video, and just how horrific that was to see. And you know, it has been discouraging how little interest really there has been from the national media in this case. The story's right there, you know. I mean, it's incredible. We see it every day, and you know, you'd think there'd be a little more curiosity.
Well, I'm encouraged by organizations like yours and those that you are working for and contributing to that are getting the truth out there and certainly allowing people to have exposure to information, really organic in a sense, closer to the source. How can people get in tune if they don't know EWTN, if they don't know who you're working with? How do they find out more?
So EWTN is the Global Catholic Network. We're accessible on not only your cable channels, but online as well. I'd specifically on the life issue point you to the show. One of the shows that I work on is EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, which is specifically dedicated to the pro-life cause. And you can see that on YouTube. You can see that at EWTN.com.
Excellent. And we have a friend in common. We have Dr. Pat Castle in common.
Yes.
Yes.
His enthusiasm for this cause is unparalleled.
Oh, man. And watching that movement has been fun, too. Thank you so much, Kate, for spending your time with us this morning. Enjoy your information. Have a wonderful Monday. And again, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, together on this Monday. Make it a great Monday, my friends. Remember, over, under, around, or through, no matter what you're facing today, you are an overcomer.